David comes to us with very deep Mennonite roots. He was part of the founding of the Mennonite Church in
West Side,
and he's had various ministries throughout his career. And his wife Trish is with us also. She's with InterVarsity, and she works on the University of Buffalo and Buff State campuses. And David is going to be giving our sermon today. Thank you, David.
Wow, it really empties out in here when the children leave, doesn't it? Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today and to preach. When I told Phil I'd be interested in preaching sometime if he ever needed me, I thought it'd be, you know, a long way off, a little soon for me, but I really appreciate being here. I also appreciate your warm welcome that you've given me. I appreciate the worship that is in this church and the idea of worshiping God. I really love it more than you can ever know. Sometimes the songs are just the perfect song I needed to sing that day. And I really appreciate all your work. And I also appreciate Phil. It's nice to be in a church where I agree with almost everything he says. In fact, everything. I haven't had that in a long time, so I really appreciate that. I'm not sure that you know that, but usually I have a couple things I want to discuss with the pastor afterwards I disagree with. And we all have those things. But Phil, I've been really, really comfortable with, and I really appreciate him. Let's pause for a moment so I can pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for Alden Mennonite Church and for their spirits and their presence. We pray that you would bless this time together, that you'd bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that may be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever looked in a mirror? What do you see? You look at your eyes, what color they are, your skin, the bags under your eyes, the wrinkles, the new ones, the old ones. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, what we're really looking at is our own faults, our shortcomings, our sins. I don't really like to look in the mirror too much because I don't like looking at those things. But when I do, I take time to pray, to ask God, and then I look away as fast as I possibly can. But when God looks at us, what does he see? He does not see our sins. When God looks at us, he sees our potential. If we have Jesus as our Savior and our advocate, God sees Jesus instead of us. And God only sees our potential. What is my potential? What is your potential? What are the potential of the people around you? Let's look together at Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowded around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. When he sat down, he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partner in the other boat to come and to help them. They came and filled both boats full. So full they began to sink. When Peter saw that, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, Simon. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." So they pulled their boats to shore, left everything, and followed him. Here Simon Peter is doing his own business. He's minding his own business. He has a boat. I'm sure that's an expensive thing to own. He has nets, and he has fished all night long. He is tired, and he is disappointed. Perhaps he's disappointed in his own self, or maybe just the catch that he did not get, and the plans he had for the money he was going to use for that catch. When Peter looks in the mirror, I suspect, too, that he himself, seeing his shortcomings, Jesus is going about his business, gathering around him a crowd of people, hundreds of people, so many that it was hard to preach, to speak to them so that all of them could hear him. Jesus climbed into Peter's boat and asked him to pull away from the shore just a little way so he can speak to the crowd. What did Peter think as Jesus preached? Perhaps, like the crowd, he too wanted to hear Jesus speak. Perhaps he was thinking about his poor catch and how disappointed he was in himself while Jesus spoke. Jesus sees Peter's potential. After Jesus was done preaching, he asked Peter to go out further, out into the deep, and let down his nets. We don't know the content of Jesus' sermon here, but perhaps he was talking about God providing for us, and not to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how we're going to pay our gas bill, or how we're going to pay for our child's education. But trust in God, who cares for you more than the animals of the field and the birds of the air, for they do not worry, and God cares for them. Are you worried this morning? Sometimes it's hard, I know, to put your worries into God's hands and to trust him. Jesus' business is to point, at this point, is preaching. Peter's business is fishing. How did Peter feel when Jesus asked him to put down his nets in the deep? Peter obeyed reluctantly, but he did. After Peter put down his nets and began to fill with fish, so many that Peter and Jesus needed help to pull them to shore, and the nets began to break, how did Peter respond? How did he feel? He turned to Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter was looking at his faults, his shortcomings, his worthlessness. In his own assessment, he is not good enough. Do we feel that way sometimes? Do we say to God, "We cannot spend time with you because of our own sins"? Yes. Jesus sees Peter's potential and says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing people." Jesus says to us, "Don't be afraid, for I have forgiven you for all of your sins." God has a plan for Peter, and God has a plan for you. God looks at our potential. You got to love Peter as a disciple. Let's look at his resume a little bit of what he did do. In Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 25, Jesus is walking on water. The disciples were taking their boat, and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and then there's Jesus walking on water. Not unusual, is it? What does Peter do? Peter says, "Hey, Lord, if that's really you, let me come to you." So Peter climbed out of the boat and walked on water. When Jesus asked the disciples, Who do they say I am? Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter offers to build a tabernacle for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. After Jesus' arrest, Peter follows Jesus and denies him three times, just as Jesus said he would. And then after the resurrection, when Peter had gone off back to fishing, who met him at the shore but Jesus? Peter saw Jesus on the shore, swam in to greet him. And there, during their conversation, Peter asked Jesus, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep three times. In my quiet time, I've been studying the book of Acts. And it's pretty interesting when you look at Acts chapter 3, Peter's leadership that's going on here. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer. At 3 p.m, now a man was lame from birth and was being carried to the temple gates called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg before the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and did John. And Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them attention, expecting something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Taking him from the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. They left praising God. Now in Acts chapter 4, the Jewish leaders have a small problem with Peter's generosity. Jewish leaders are troubled with Peter and John's teaching in the temple courts. And they arrest him and throw him in jail for the night, cool him off a little bit. And they question him in the morning. Peter spoke with power of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures say. He says, rulers and elders of the people, if you are being called to account today for the kindness shown to this man who was lame and is being asked how he was healed, then I tell you this, people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified and God has raised from the dead. For this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name in heaven given by mankind by which you can be saved. When the leaders saw Peter's courage, they were astonished because he was an ordinary man, unschooled. And they took note that he was with Jesus. Peter was not perfect, and God did not look at his shortcomings. God saw Peter's heart. God saw Peter's potential. This is hope for us, hope for me, and hope for you, because God looks at our potential and has a plan. What comes to mind when you think about the KKK? What usually comes to mind? Hate. Do you see potential in the KKK? God does. And he does it through Daryl Davis. Daryl Davis is an African-American musician from Chicago. He's fascinated with the KKK. And he travels throughout the United States playing his music. He meets up with local KKK leaders. And he has one question he wants to ask them. How can you hate me if you don't know me? He has spent hours with members of the KKK across the country in dialogue. He says he did not set out to convert anyone, but as they discussed the issues, they converted themselves. One man has led hundreds of KKK members to change their convictions You can read about it on accidentcourtesy.com. Advertisement. I'm just kidding. Where do you find a compassionate lawyer to help the young people of the east side of Buffalo? God found one. His name is Arthur A. Duncan III. He was a mid-level drug dealer on Buffalo's east side. His lifestyle led him to serving time in a federal prison. As a criminal, with a criminal record, his life seemed over. He decided to go to school, ECC, UB, and eventually UB Law School. Duncan graduated with honors. All he had to do was convince the New York Bar Committee on character and fitness to be an attorney, that he was fit. So one day in the spring of 2013, Duncan visited nervously a downtown office, armed with his arrest records and his prison records, his diploma. He was prepared to answer any questions they threw at him. Instead of grilling him, the committee members marveled at the recommendations Darrell had received on his behalf, especially the recommendation from his pastor. "Duncan," they said, "you are a model for someone who has changed his life and should be commended." They said, What you did a long time ago was a long time ago, and I'm going to recommend you for admittance to the bar of the state of New York." The 43-year-old man with five kids had his past put behind him and successfully climbed the mountain that few have climbed. He now is practicing law on Buffalo's east side, helping men and women just like him change their lives. He serves as a deacon in his Baptist church, and he wrote a book called The Felon Attorney. Another commercial? Not really. Who knew of Arthur's potential? God knew. When Jesus looks at you, he continually sees your potential. When Jesus looked at Peter, he saw his potential as the first leader of the early church. When Jesus looked at the KKK in Buffalo's east side, when Jesus looks at Syria and Mexico and Iraq, he sees potential. The challenge for us today is twofold. We need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us when we look in the mirror, to know that Jesus loves us and cares about us and has a plan for us. And every time you look, remind yourself again what Jesus has done for you, and see yourself as Jesus sees you. And two, we need to see continually the people around us for their potential. Think about the worst person you can think of, the worst one. Go for it. God has a plan for him or her. The early church, their worst person ever was Paul. Remember Paul? And we know what happened to him. Lord God, I thank you so much that you are a God who loves us and cares for us, and that you gave us your Son who has covered our sins, who has lifted us up. We thank you that you see our potential. And we pray that each person here, that they would look in the mirror and see their potential. And as we look around us and see the people around us to see theirs, may we be your ambassadors to the kingdom of God may be built. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.